Nick, that was a great job. That was my brother, Nick, by the way, who sang the song. You're very natural. You're very good at things like that. My father and I, and Dad, how have you managed not to say anything until this point? Fantastic. Are you okay? Overcome with joy. My dad and I had a brilliant day on Friday. Rebecca, my wife, bought me a Birds of Prey experience day, and we were in Tatton at the Gauntlet Eagle and Vulture Centre. Has anyone been? Fantastic place. Oh, there's so much I could tell you about that place. Watch this space. You see, I told you it would come. It really interested me being there. And it's something I didn't expect at all. We were with hawks and we were with owls and with vultures. Very interesting, the whole re-education on vultures who tend to get very bad press. But there's just that sense when I was in there that you were really being watched. And whenever you were with a particular bird, it was like it had a personality, and the people who own that place talked about how they were all very different, and they'd look at you, and there was some birds would actually do particular things for different people in the center. And there was just that sense for me. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's just that sense for me of there was just a great sense of the Spirit of God in that place. And in every single one of those different animals, there was just something else going on that was just far bigger than perhaps I think we kind of let on. It was incredible, really. Anyway, Bird of Prey Experience Day. If you fancy doing something different, or if you want to buy somebody something really different, do it. It's fantastic. Really good. So I have a question for you this morning. We're going off-piste a bit this morning. I'm going to try something a bit different. Let's see what happens. What's life without taking a few risks, eh? If right now you had the opportunity to say something to a Nina aged 18, what would you say? If right now you had the opportunity to say something to a Nina aged 18, she was listening now, what would you say? Now that's a bit of a random question, so I don't necessarily expect an answer. But just hold that thought, okay? Just hold that thought for a minute, because we'll be back. You know, moments, defining moments. I'm sure every single person here, as young or as old, we all have defining moments, good and bad. Some can seem quite trivial. Some of them seem huge and significant. I wonder if you've had any, you must have had some really defining moments in your life. Because they shape us, don't they? They point us. So another question, oh, loads of questions. Anyone who knows me well, no, I've got a million questions. Just keep on coming. How's your memory of defining moments? What kind of detail do you remember from those moments? Can you remember exactly where you were standing, perhaps, when that thing happened? Or maybe the music you were listening to. Or maybe the people you were with at that moment when that thing happened. Are you with me on this? Yeah, of course you are. So how about this one? Monday, the 21st of October, 1991, 8 a.m., Radio 1, The Simon Mayo Show. I could take you to a house in Birmingham and I could place my feet on the precise places where I first heard the very first track from U2's album, Achtung Baby. Are you with me on this? No, not really. How sad. After the Joshua Tree, we've been waiting a long time. How many U2 fans here? There must be. We've been waiting a long time. Rattle and Hum was fine, but it just kept us going, didn't it? What about Fortnite? Who plays Fortnite? Who knows what Fortnite is? It's a big, massive online game. What an incredible moment last week. Was it last week when a comet hit the planet and all these children playing, thousands and thousands, maybe millions, is that overstating it? Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of children playing at this point. And suddenly this comet, they're all online, all playing. It's like this world and they're all running around, shaking hands and stuff. And this comet, bang, hits the planet. Boom! And all they see, all these hundreds of thousands of people, is a black hole. and they can't play anymore for a week. How great was that? I mean, when I say how great was that, I mean, how bold was that of the makers? You know, I was talking to someone who does shop fittings for booths, and they say they do it in the night because they're worried that people might just go and do shop somewhere else and then never come back. But they actually had that game down for, was it a week? Was it down for a week? Incredible. Okay, let me talk you through a few vivid moments. The first time I saw Rebecca Yeo, Rebecca Taylor now, my wife, I could take you to the exact place I was just through there when I first saw her. How about our first kiss? Oh yes, I could take you there. Oh come on, Paul, you want to know really. The precise spot next to the River Seine where I proposed to her. Yeah, I could take you to the exact spot where we were at that point. Let's go back. Passing my driving test. Okay, the second time. Don't be hard. Or was it the massive hug with my father straight afterwards? That's what I remember. The birth of my son, our first child, Ben. Or how about my wife walking down the stairs telling me she was pregnant with our second, Jess. I can remember being stood at the bottom of the stairs. My wife, Rebecca, walked down the stairs, and I can remember that precise moment. Or how about my first 10K run, but it wasn't the finish. Listen to this. It was passing the cancer research bus with tears pouring down my face. I could take you to the precise place in Manchester where that had happened. I ran it in memory of my mother. Or my first marathon, oh yes. I think I'd have to take you to the point where we ran round a corner between some traffic lights, and on the Manchester Marathon, you can see the end there, and you're probably even a mile away at that point, but you can see the finish. Oh yes, there were tears, and plenty of them. So what, Stu, where are you going with this? Where are you going with this? Well, today, for many today is a moment. It really is a moment, isn't it? It's a moment for Alex and for Kath and Nina, of course, Josh and Zach and the family and friends and the church community here. This is a moment, isn't it? This is a moment. And maybe it's in these moments that we get to step out of the grind, our routine, and we get to ask ourselves a really simple question. Am I doing okay? Because ultimately, I think that's all I want. To be doing okay. It's all I want. As a friend, as a son, as an uncle, Uncle Stu, as a husband, as a father. I ain't interested in greatness or anything like. You know, if one of these sermons, whatever you want to call it, I hate the word sermon. I much prefer the idea that we're just exploring together here. If one of these goes well, please don't tell me, oh, it was amazing, it was great, because I'm just not interested. I really have got to the point in my life where I'm not interested. Because all I want to do is do okay. I just want to play my part and do my bit. Not interested with any of the ego that comes with all the rest. And I think, however much we try to deny it, I think we gauge this from a sense of approval. A sense of approval. Maybe the people around us say, yes, yes, Cass, Al, you're doing okay. Or maybe more than ever, perhaps even more than that, maybe we look at ourselves and say, yes, I think you're doing okay. I think you're doing okay, or not. Now, I started with a question. Do you remember what the question was? What would you say to Anina if she was age 18 now? Because this morning is all about Anina. This morning is all about Anina. Listen, this is not one of those rubbish birthday parties where 10 minutes in, everybody's forgotten why they're there, yeah? This is all about Anina and the family this morning. So I'm thinking, what if, and I'm going to do this, what if we put a CD in an envelope and dated that envelope the 20th of October, 2036, and what if Anina, aged 18, listened to that then? Listen to this then. Well, Anina, hello. Do you want to say hello to Anina, everybody? Hello. Hey, it's Uncle Stu here. How are you? How are you doing? I'm intrigued to know, Anina, what's happening in the world right now. I'd like to think Brexit was sorted by then. Sorry, Anina, that was a little bit of an in-joke. If you Google Brexit, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. What have we done? So before I carry on, here's a thought. Who'd like to say something to Anina, aged 18, on the 20th of October, 2036? Now, come on, it doesn't need to be long or super profound or... Who'd like to say something? Uncle Nick?
Hello, Anina. I'm really sorry.
Can you put the radio mic on?
I'm really sorry about that song that we did at your dedication service.
That was Uncle Nick. How about over here? Ben?
Hey, Anina, it's the embarrassing Uncle Ben here. I just hope that you know the radical love of God and that you've radically given your life to him.
Ooh, something else?
Oh, a bit holy. This is Auntie Amy, married to Uncle Ben. I would say to you, a bit deep as well, but I hope you surrendered your life to Jesus because it's the best thing I probably have ever done. And make sure you laugh a lot.
Anyone else? Oh, Grandma.
I might have to say great-grandma by then, but baby Anina, you're just wonderful. And I say yes, all that's gone before from Uncle Ben and Auntie Amy and all the family, but have you tidied your room yet?
Anyone else? I'll just have a couple more. Come on, girls, why don't you both say something?
Hi, Anina, it's your cousin Rose. I can't wait to see you at age 18. I love you.
I hope we're still close. I hope we still are really good friends, and I hope that we're just to have a good time.
Oh, Mum. Anina, sit down.
Ask your dad for some money and let's go shopping.
I'm a youth worker, I don't have any money. I love you, Anina.
Okay, Josh.
I love Anina, and I hope Anina sticks with the Everton.
Yes. That was Josh and Anina. Oh, this is good, isn't it? Anyway, back to approval. Back to approval. Now let's be clear, I am no psychologist. I can only speak from my limited experience and my reading and my listening, my understanding. But I think we all want approval. I do. I think we all want approval. In fact, I think we might all need some sense of approval. But I have a load of questions. What is approval? Where do we look for approval? Where do we get our approval? Maybe two different places. Do we look for approval all the time? And is that healthy? Can we go without approval and for how long? And what does it feel like when the people close to you don't give you any approval? And if someone says, I don't need any approval, what does this say about them? And do we always need approval from our parents? Listen to this. This was on the BBC app this week. This is Elton John speaking. He says, it's crazy, but he's talking about his father. I just wanted his approval, the star tells the BBC. I'm still trying to prove to him that what I do is fine. And he's been dead for almost 30 years. Wow. Approval. On another tack, to what extent do you purposefully and mindfully give approval? And I'm talking to everybody here. To what extent do you give approval? Do you have a duty to give approval to the people around you? And to who? And how is your answer to that question affecting the people around you? Now, is there a type of approval that sinks deep inside your heart? And is there a kind of approval that somehow skims the surface and leaves you wanting more and quickly? I've been reading a lot about social media. Who does Facebook? Who does, what else have we got? Snapchat? Instagram? Strava? Yes. You know, I've been reading about this. It's a fact. The people who make this stuff say it. They thrive from a deep-seated need for approval. Because what you do is you post something, a comment, a photograph or something, and I bet you quite a few times thereafter, you have a quick look to see, have you got a what? Have you got a thumbs up? Have you got a like? Because when you get that like, it's like, oh, maybe you get 10 likes, 20 likes, 25 likes, 30 likes. Yeah. Let's be clear, this is very intentional. Someone once described these as like a slot machine. You push your bit in, you pull the handle down, and then you thrive from the response that comes out of it, or not. I think we need to be very careful where we look for approval. And parents, if your child has a deep-seated need for approval, do we want this to be their main source? So hi, Nina. We're still here. I hope you are too. Lots of questions there about approval. You have a think. What's happening for you at the moment? Are you giving approval, Anina? Are you getting approval, Anina? I'm sure you are. Anina, I think it's okay to need approval. It is, and it's normal. But the question, Anina, is where are you getting it from? Now, we're in church this morning, yes? So let's ask some really big questions, because it's safe to ask those questions here. It is, yes. So let's take a step back and think about approval and God and faith. Now I'm going to take a risk here. Anyone who says that they don't need approval from anyone because they get it from God, I'm not sure that's true or healthy. Because I suspect we are wired for human approval. But I strongly suspect that the God-inspired vehicle for approval are the people around us when they're functioning as they're intended to be. Here's another thing. What if our appetite for approval was a search for a deep-seated love, favor, and acceptance? That approval I mentioned before that seeks deep into your heart. Hi, Nina. This is where it gets really good, and I've got you to thank for this. Because your name, as I'm sure you know, it means in Aramaic. How cool to have a name that means something in Aramaic. Choice, guys. Your name means, answer my prayer or God has favored me. God has favored me. God has favored me. And Nina, God has favored you. Do you hear me? God has favored you. You are loved and favored by God. A love that is bigger than anything in its way. And what if, Anina, for you, this was the foundation for everything else? That everything was somehow built on the certainty of this and measured against this, that you are loved and favored by God. Now listen, if you're sat there saying, yeah, but what about this and what about that? Honestly, talk about that stuff to me anytime you like, because I totally get it. And I am tired and weary of super thin kind of explanations to those issues. Let's wrestle with them. Let's wrestle with them together. But honestly, I truly believe, Anina, you're loved and you're favored by God. But here's the thing. Not because of anything you've done. In fact, I don't think there's anything that you can do to God, make God love you any more than he does right now. There is nothing you can do to make him love. If you thought coming here was going to make God love you a little bit more, it's not happening, people. But that's because he loved you more than we could imagine before you even stepped foot into this room. In 2019 and in 2036. There's famous passages in the Bible in Romans 5 and Romans 8. While that God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still messing things up, Christ died for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? All these things were more than conquerors, for I'm sure that neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, none of these things will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Why is that? Because it really ain't down to you. Because God loves you more than you'll ever know. And that's just not going to change. Now don't get me wrong, we all do stuff. The human potential to mess things up is alive and well in us all. Isn't it? Am I the only one? We don't have to approve this. We're not on some kind of fickle thing that we're saying everything we do is awesome and you can be anything you like. Come on. I'll never run as fast as Mo Farah. Not even half as fast. We don't have to approve. We're not talking about that stuff. But I'm talking about your essence, Anina. I'm talking about who you are as a person, that you are favored and you are loved. Now, a few weeks, and we sang it this morning. Thank you, Johnny. We sang the song in the fire, wasn't it? Great. I think it was Ali who was leading, wasn't she? We sang that for the first time. Yeah. Now, after telling my children to all put their phones in their pockets and not use them in church, yeah, at that point I sneakily took out my phone and had a quick search for this song to see what it was. And I found that it was on a new album. So later I had a listen. And listen, if you don't believe me, try it. The best place to listen to an album is on a 50-mile bike ride. It is. That's if there isn't a handy marathon taking place. It is. And on the album, there was another song that leapt out. And it was a song called As You Find Me. And Anina, if you look up the Hillsong album, this is going to seem very dated and old now, but there's a Hillsong album called People. And there's two lines that really jumped out at me. And Alex is nodding because he's heard this too. He says, I was found before I was lost. I was found before I was lost. I was yours before I was not. You know, to be a Christian, to know God, to connect with the flow, the hum, maybe that hum I described before as I was walking through that Birds of Prey Center, to connect with all of this, I think is to see something that's already there, already, and connect with that. You know, the history in ancient religion, and sadly, often modern religion, is that it feels like a desperate thrashing around to get the attention, to appease the anger of a God who, quite frankly, either doesn't exist, or at least is very, very, very unhappy with you. Rubbish. Listen, Anina, you are loved and you are favored by God. You are loved and favored by God. I love the sense in my faith that God is somehow beside me, not somehow up there somewhere and I'm screaming to get his attention. We have a faith. You look at the life of Christ. It's all about Christ beside us. Look to your side. Yes, it's tough. Yes, we've got a million questions. But honestly, look left, look right. He's there. Look at the way Jesus, maybe the best heads up we believe to what God is like. Look at the way he interacts with all kinds of people in different situations. There's absolutely no sense of any of those people having to somehow earn God's favor or approval. You know, what did these people who, like the religious people, wanted nothing to do with, and listen, they wanted nothing to do with them. Did they somehow have to earn the favor of Jesus for him to start spending time with him? No, not at all. There's no sense of these people having to earn favor or approval. Psalm 118 says the Lord is on my side, but I suspect at that time they understood it in the sense of elbows out, everyone else out the way. But I have a sneaky feeling that we're all loved and all favored by God. We are all loved and we are all favored by God. Now here at Hesketh Bank Christian Center, we as a community, we try to live our lives together in the light of this. This is what we believe, that we are all loved and we are all favored by God. All of us. And Anina, I really hope that you are part of a community. If not this one, one that does do this, that follows this. You know, when talking to Kath and Al, it's been such a good opportunity to spend a little bit more time with them. And we were talking about this dedication. And as much as anything, this dedication for Kath and Al wasn't some kind of somehow some magic words or something that was just going to make everything okay. It wasn't that at all. It was a sense of coming together with you as a community, as a family, as a people, to say, look, this is what we believe. This is where we stand. And we choose to stand with you, to work this out, to live and learn and grow together. That's what we want. So Anina, hi. May you always know that you are loved and favored by God. And here's the thing, Anina. It's not just you, of course, but it's every person in this room here on the 20th of October, 2019. And it's every person around you right there on the 20th of October, 2036. You are loved and you are favored by God. So what are you going to do? So to you, Anina, and to everyone gathered here, to love and celebrate you, yes, you, Anina, grace and peace. Amen. Amen. Okay, Johnny. Should we sing one more song? Haven't the band been fantastic this morning?